Rajajana Ranjana Shoranandana Rajajana Ranjana Shamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnubhad Paraman Supri Raja Kacharja Shtom Paraman Shri Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarshati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Sridhar Das Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vajradi Gaurabhaktam Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kuni Radha Kuni Giri Gurdhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Adit Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamanamai Ki Jai Kusi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivin Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. O Premanande. Cell phone, if you would, and see that it's on.
that are silent. And also, if you would kindly keep your pocket cameras in your pockets. Om Gyan Tiran Tasya Gyan Jana Shabakaya Chakshur Vidita Vena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manogistam Stapitam Jena Phutale Shayam Rupa Kodamaityam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Chakrashatam Shahagana Raghunatha Vitam Sam Sivam Shadvetam Shadutam Prajana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Shadana Vrita Sri Vishaka Vitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Golongi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kolpataru Vyascha Kupasindho Hevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Kali means the present age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Kalir dosha vite rajam. The Kali Yuga is described as being an ocean of faults, an ocean of bad qualities. Mandasa manda matayo manda bhagya ubhuta. The people in this age are described as being slow. Manda means slow. Slow to take up spiritual understanding. Manda sumanda matayo, and ill-advised, misled by bad leaders. And manda bhagya, therefore, unfortunate and upadruta, always disturbed by the characteristics of this age. The age of Kali is described in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quite an extensive description. Asanskrita kriya ina rajasa tamasa vata prajaste bhakshiyashanti Raja, Raja Nirupinama. Pocket phones serving as cameras also qualify as cameras. You can ask him for the camera. Not that everyone wants to be the time for. This is a description of the heads of state in Kali Yuga. Asanskrita means uncivilized. They'll be civilized because they'll wear suits and ties. But in terms of their personal characteristics, they'll be more like barbarians. Asanskrita kriya hina, devoid of the regulative principles. They won't follow any principles of decent behavior. They'll just be animals. Tamasa, rajasa, tamasavrita, covered by the lower qualities of material nature. There are three qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva-guna, rajagun, tamagun. In the qualities of goodness, there's truthfulness, peacefulness, honesty, cleanliness. In the modes of passion and ignorance, there's all foolishness, dirty dealings, intense competition, and ruthlessness. So the leaders in Kali Yuga will show the qualities of passion and ignorance. Asanskrita kriya hina rajasa tamasavrita and bhakshiyashyanti te praja. Praja se bhakshiyashyanti. They'll devour the citizens. Lecha raja nirupina. They'll be simply the lowest class of human beings, dressed like kings or presidents or prime ministers. We see this already happen. Sometimes the leaders of countries are nothing more than thugs, plunderers. And even when they're well-dressed and supposedly sophisticated, their personal lives may be the nastiest things. We had one of our presidents in America was he was very popular, and we used to see pictures of him with his beautiful wife and his cute little children, and he was such a an ideal family. But the Washington Press Corps, among themselves, used to call him Mattress Jack. For reasons that need not be stated. It's later stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the heads of state will oppress the citizens in so many ways, especially through taxation. They'll just suck the life out of you. A tax for this, a tax for that, a tax on your income, a tax on your inheritance, a tax on your vehicle, a tax on your home, a tax on your food, a tax on the tax. The citizens will be attacked through taxes. It'll become so unbearable that people will go to the forest rather than live under the regimes of such governments. They'd rather flee to the forest. So much could be said about how vicious nations become under the ruthless leadership of heads of state who are servants of vested interests and who launch wars and bloodshed simply for their own self-aggrandizement, their own sense of gratification. These are characteristics of Kali Yuga. Apart from that,
many characteristics are mentioned.
justice, you'll get it if you have power. And good breeding, if you have money. You're a gentleman if you have money. And men and women will live together simply because of superficial attraction. There'll be no higher principles involved. Success in business will just depend on cheating. A man will be known as a Brahmin if he has a thread. And the learned scholar will be somebody who's a best talker. Pandite Chapalam, the person who's a best talker will be known as an erudite scholar. A person will be considered a sadhu, not a gentleman, if he doesn't have money. And marriage will be just by verbal agreement. Svikara eva chodvaya. Now this has happened. That there was marriage, and now increasingly there's just living together. I don't know about South Africa, but in America it's become more the norm than the exception. Couple agrees to live together because marriage has become also such an uncertain proposition. I was hearing one talk and the speaker was addressing an audience and saying that half of you are on your way to divorce. Just statistically, it's only a question of which half you're in. But half of you are headed for divorce. Just statistically. So marriage becomes such a chancy proposition that man and woman say, well, let's play house. And that's marriage. They live together and now it's sort of husband and wife is giving way to a partner as the preferred term, partly because your partner may or may not be of the opposite sex, which is another symptom of Kali Yuga, and partner also because even if they are of opposite sex, it's not necessarily marriage, it may be more of a partnership. Like a business partnership which can last for some time or not. That's another symptom of Kali Yuga.
Lavanyam Keshadharana.
A person will think he's very beautiful if he's got long hair.
Yogyashorte Dharma Sevanam. Daksham Kutumba Paranam. Daksham Kutumba, Daksha means very expert. And Kutumba Paranam means maintaining one's family. If a man can maintain his family, people say, wow, how do you do it? You're really a capable man, you're maintaining your family. That will be a big accomplishment in Kali Yuga. If you can maintain your family, you're Daksha, very expert. And the short day, dharma sevanam. And people will follow some principles of religion simply for the sake of reputation. There was another American politician, not too far removed in time from the previous one. He was quite a noted gentleman. His wife said, I knew that he'd decided to run when he ran for office, when he called me up and said, told me to get the children dressed for church.
Simply for reputation. The lowest among, this we discussed and it's being repeated here, the lowest among men will somehow or other shove himself into office by power, he'll gain political posts. And they'll be like thieves. Dasyutarmapi. Their business will be really theft. We see that sometimes. The head of state just plunders the state treasury and then takes off. Previously, the king was like the father of the citizens. He would be so responsible, so concerned for the welfare of his citizens. Now, Kali Yuga, he's just concerned with lining his pockets because he's only got a short time to do it. In America, they give you 4 years, and if you're lucky, you get A. During that time, take advantage of the opportunity. In some countries, it's by petty bribes and so on. In some countries, it's by enormous arrangements. People will live 50 years maximum. They'll suffer from so many climate problems. And on it goes, just becomes. More and more degraded. The summary is that is the age of degradation, when everything decent disappears, everything that's good disappears, and human beings descend more and more to the level of animals, the level of barbarians. Kalir dosha nityayaraja. Therefore, the Kali Yuga is described as just an ocean of faults. Dosha niti. Asti yeka mahaguna. But only one good thing is there. Asti yeka mahaguna. One good quality. Kirtanadi eva krishnasya.
Mukta sangha.
Param prajaita. That simply by Krishna Kirtan, this chanting of the holy name of Krishna, one can become freed from material existence. In previous ages, one would have to undergo thousands of years of austerity. One would have to go through deep meditation, living in the Himalayas and practicing all the rigors of the yoga system. Or one would have to undergo undertake great sacrifices, sacrificial ritualistic performances, or very elaborate worship in temples. These belong to previous ages. But Yarat Nauti Talam Nauti Kalautas Sankirtikation. Whatever one can get in previous ages by meditation, by sacrifice, by temple worship, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Kirtana Krishna, Eva Krishna, Krishna Kirtan. Not any name, but the holy name of Lord Krishna. Kirtana Eva Krishna, Mukta Sangha. Freedom. And Parampraja, one can attain the goal of life by returning back home, back to God. This is the only good thing in Kali Yuga. Everything else is corrupt. So our Krishna consciousness movement is asking everyone, please take to this authorized and simple method of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is recommended in Vedic literature as the best means for spiritual realization, or in fact the only effective means, chanting of the holy name of God in Kali Yuga. I could say more, but maybe I'll stop here and see what kind of questions you might have. We're in the middle of one, so I'm going to finish writing. And then it comes by then. Yeah, we're just waiting for you. You've got all the questions, right? Oh, you're taking notes. I can't hear you.
A register.
Okay, you're registered. You're here. Okay, so what questions might we have? Now that you've settled the question about the register. Curiously uncurious. Yes, there's a question there.
How to find the balance between spiritual life and material life?
How to find the balance between spiritual life and material life? Look way on the spiritual side because we're already way on the material side. Or from another point of view, when we give our attention to spiritual life, the material life, everything falls in line also. Material life is included in spiritual life, but spiritual life is not included in material life. If we take up the principles of spiritual life, how to meet our material necessities, or how to deal with our material, the material side of things, is included. How to eat in the best possible, just like our devotees of Krishna, they have the best diet. When I first joined, it was like, vegetarian. That was like weird and probably unhealthy and so many other things. And now, so it's, how many years later? 40 years or so, 50 years? Not 50, 45. So now it's, everybody wants to, if they don't want to be vegetarian, then they look up to you because you're a vegetarian. It's recognized that it's more healthy to be a vegetarian. As soon as you've got some disease, the doctor tells you to stop eating meat. So it's a material thing. But automatically, by being Krishna conscious, automatically one is vegetarian, because he's not only vegetarian, he's taking Krishna prasad, the food offered to Krishna. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. These are the rules for the Krishna consciousness movement, for those who are seriously following. And automatically, no gambling. You save money. That's material life, but your material life is improved. You just save so much money and so much mental agitation and wondering. No meat eating, we talked about that. Even on a large scale, the tremendous damage to the environment from the slaughter industries, the enormous karmic reactions that come upon nations for these things, that one gets free from. That's just material, not a spiritual thing. But one is immediately freed from all of that heavy individual or group reaction automatically, because he's become a devotee of Krishna. No gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex. How much of this country, how many people in this country have AIDS? In Swaziland, it's like more people have it than don't have it. And in any case, here it's epidemic, whatever the figures are. So what are your chances of getting AIDS if you don't have illicit sex? If you don't have sex outside of marriage? And that's the cure for AIDS. Nobody wants it. They're hoping for some miracle cure. But we had the cure for AIDS before there was AIDS. That's a material thing. And a fairly substantial material thing, that you're going to die young and painful. But you don't become a Hare Krishna devotee, you don't worry about this. You don't worry about AIDS or another problem. You don't worry about getting pregnant or getting her pregnant. Right? There are so-called college students. Whatever their other studies, they're very much interested in coupling up. And then there's always the risk of pregnancy. And then, if there's pregnancy, then you have your choice to either carry to term and beg from the government, or kill the child. Ghastly and horrible, vicious thing for a mother to do. But one doesn't face any of those anxieties or horrible outcomes if one simply follows this principle, no illicit sex. No gambling, no media, and no intoxication. Drugs, liquor. People, so many, what percentage of the population have their lives seriously damaged or ruined by drugs, liquor, tobacco even? Now, you know, again, when I was young, there were smoking sections on airplanes. And which meant that the whole airplane was a smoking section, really. Now there's, people are frustrated, the smokers are frustrated because you can't smoke in the plane, you can't smoke in the airport, you can't smoke here, you can't smoke there, because everybody, and people look at you like a pariah. They put them in little rooms where they all puff together. And the rest of the world looks at them like, and then they try, they may try to stop, but they can't stop, and they're wearing patches, and they're trying this, and they're trying that, hypnosis, whatever. They can't stop smoking. We don't have such a problem. So these are like major things. We're not just talking about small stuff. These are major things that can make your life horrible, that can ruin your life. But if you simply become a Hare Krishna devotee, chant Hare Krishna, and take up this way of life, your health improves, your peace of mind improves, you save money, you don't worry about so many issues. Even disease comes from uncleanliness, from overeating, from anxiety. You chant Hare Krishna, you have no anxiety. You don't eat these nasty things, and you're not so burdened by overeating, eating poisonous things, really. And devotees automatically clean So these are some of the material things. And your consciousness becomes clearer, you make intelligent choices. So many ways you're materially improved.
Automatically.
Just because you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're leading spiritual life. So, and the more, even though I've already taken up spiritual life, how do I balance it? The more you're involved in your spiritual life, the more the material side will also go well. It doesn't mean I don't work, it doesn't mean I don't perform my family responsibilities. That's all just falls into the proper place when one is genuinely Krishna conscious. Is that okay? And if you're not Krishna conscious, it will all be a mess one way or another. And if it's not, you'll have a very happy life and die and come back as a dog. Is there another question? Yes?
Why doesn't everybody chant Hare Krishna
and be happy because they'd rather not chant Hare Krishna and be miserable? They have Krishna phobia. Much worse than AIDS is Krishna phobia. The Prabhupada had saw a cartoon someplace where a man is dying. Last time, I think that was the cartoon. And his wife is urging him, chant, chant, chant. And the man is responding, can't, can't, can't. We're asking everyone, chant, chant, can't, can't. In one place in Srila Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada refers to this as causeless unwillingness. You know, no good reason. Causeless unwillingness. Elsewhere he calls it stubborn obstinacy. Sana shasa bhutanam tasyam jagati samimi tasyam jagati bhutanami. What the saintly person sees as being day, the materialist sees as being night. So they're averse to spiritual life, averse to spiritual inquiry. They would rather. Why are you wasting your time chanting Hare Krishna? Come on over to the pub, we're going to have a few beers and be happy. They think that this is a good life, to drink, to smoke, to chase women around. And these stupid people are wasting their time chanting Hare Krishna. And of course, those who are chanting Hare Krishna think exactly the same way about them. So you can decide which makes more sense. I wonder what other questions there might be. Yes?
The pollution of Kali Yuga, how do we...
Loud, loud, loud. No, there's a bit of Kali Yuga, people speak too softly.
The pollution of Kali Yuga, how do we differentiate between
how do you differentiate in Kali Yuga between the Lord's arrangements and Maya's arrangements? In any way, the same way, by Vedic knowledge, Shastra Pramanate, the person in Krishna consciousness or in spiritual understanding is guided by the wisdom of Vedic knowledge, Vedic literature. And the person who doesn't have the benefit of Vedic knowledge is guided by his whims or by the modes of nature that have covered him. If he's more affected by passion, he's covered by his passions. If he's more affected by ignorance, he's guided by his ignorance. So, a man meets a beautiful woman, a man is married, but he meets a beautiful woman and thinks, God's arrangement. Because he's governed by passion. Degraded person gets, somebody meets some, stumbles into some place and people are taking drugs, he thinks, God's arrangement. And these are grosser examples, but in the human ordinary life, I may think something is God's arrangement, but it may very well be Maya's arrangement. And how do I know the difference? I don't know. That's because I'm in Maya. But Krishna is not in Maya, the enlightened sages are not in Maya. And therefore we're meant to take direction from them. No, this is not God's arrangement, this is illusions' arrangement. Or vice versa. Something else.
What role does the Srimad Bhagavatam play in ISKCON? In the age of Kali. Kalo nashta vishamesha purana arkupinohita. In the age of Kali, when Krishna is not present, we can get light from this Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is Vitamo Pukite, Dharma Gananadi Pisa. When Krishna leaves this planet, then practically karma leaves, knowledge leaves, but in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can get enlightenment. Kalam Nashtrakasha Pura Narkali, the sun in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Is there. Everything is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no such book in the world, no other such book in the world as Srimad Bhagavatam. The greatest of everything, the greatest scientific knowledge, the greatest poetry, the greatest political source of political understanding, the greatest source of spiritual self-insight. Greatest book for instructive histories. So much is there. Even if one is looking for love stories, the best ones are in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you'd rather read about battles, that's there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Politics. But it's all in relationship to Krishna. So it's all instructive and enlightening. So, pivata bhagavatam rasamani. One is invited to drink Srimad Bhagavatam. We've published this Srimad Bhagavatam in many volumes. It's available, grab it. We published in many, many languages of the world, and people who are reading this Srimad Bhagavatam are relishing nectar. And the same people who are saying can, they don't have time for Srimad Bhagavatam. They want to read the newspaper, they want to read magazines full about actors and actresses and rock stars. Such literature is compared to the Bhagavatam itself as being stuff for crows.
crows gather where people throw out their garbage, and the crows have a love feast. And they're all just excited, they're all enjoying garbage. And the swans, on the other hand, are in beautiful, placid lakes surrounded by natural scenery, gliding through the water. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literature for swans. In Kali Yuga, the crow literature is everywhere. You can read it in print, you can read it on the internet. But in Kali Yuga, especially, we can take advantage of this Srimad Bhagavatam, the book for the swans. Any other questions? Yes?
For someone who's in the working world, they have to spend the majority of their time...
The working... First of all, I'm not sure there is a working world. It looks to me like it doesn't work. Go ahead.
They have to spend the majority of their time associating with materialistic people. So how can they honor themselves?
But people in the working world have to spend the majority of their time working with materialistic people. So how can they armor themselves? Well, first of all, they shouldn't work with materialistic people. But if they do, then they shouldn't work the same way with materialistic people that we work with those who are our intimate friends. We may associate with them, but not very deeply. They have their interests and we have very different interests. There's a story about the monkey and the crocodile. You know the story about the monkey and the crocodile? The monkey wanted to cross the river and a crocodile showed up and said, hi, I'll take you across. No problem. So just get on my back and I'll ferry you over. Monkey said, okay, jumped on his back. The crocodile began swimming. And then when they were out in the middle of the water, crocodile said, well, now I'm going to drown you. And along with my family, will eat your heart out. And the monkey said, you should have told me. If only you told me. Why didn't you tell me about it? I left my heart at home. But it's not too late. You can take me back to the shore, and I'll get my heart and bring it back, and then you can have your feast. Crocodile thought, well, that makes sense. So they brought the monkey back to the shore, and the monkey jumped off. Are you bold? So the moral of the story is that when you go out with the crocodiles, leave your heart at home. Home means with Krishna. From another point of view, if we're working with those who are materialists, it's an opportunity to give them some knowledge about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, whoever you meet, wherever you go, give them this message of Krishna. So if we work with materialists, there's a lot of people to give Krishna's message to. No, I couldn't do that. Well, why not? They give us their message, right? When we go to work, they'll tell us all about what's in the newspaper or what sports team beat which each other's sports team, and they want to talk on and on about it, or else they want to talk on and on about fishing or about whatever, about hard drives and megabytes and gigabytes, or why the iPod is better than the iPad is better than the Galaxy, or why the Galaxy is better than the IBM. They want to talk about all sorts of rubbish. And we're supposed to be polite and listen and say, yeah, I suppose so. I don't know, maybe. Anyway, they want to talk about what they want to talk about. And they feel entitled to grab a piece of our time and do it. And nobody says, well, no, you're a fanatic because you're not. No. So they want to talk about what they want to talk about. We want to talk about what we want to talk about. So as they want to talk to us about Maya, we want to talk to them about Krishna. It's the same urge to talk. It's the same business of one colleague talking to another colleague about what his own interests are. So we happen to be interested in the Supreme Personality of God, and we happen to be interested in the real purpose of human life. And we're going to talk to you about it. Not just because we're obsessive like you are, but because this is the actual business of the human being, and it's actually beneficial. You, sir, are wasting your life. Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? And then when you have money, well, how to spend it, how to spend it, how to spend it. During the day, making money and spending money, and at night, either sleeping or having sex. If possible, having sex, and if there's no sex to have, then we'll go to sleep. And in this way, the materialist spends his night sleeping and sex, and his day, where is money, or what's the best way to spend it? This is called wasting the human form of life. So out of genuine concern for their welfare, the devotee wants to give them something about spiritual understanding, something about Krishna consciousness. We have our books, we can share them at work. So much can be done. Work becomes an opportunity in that sense. Good, we have a few more minutes. Yes?
Louder, then I might think about it.
Can you please explain the one definition of humility? When you take humility, does not mean that you think less of yourself, but of yourself less.
Can I explain the definition of humility, that one thinks less of the self, but of the self less? I can explain it. That's a cute little definition. Chiasmus is called in rhetoric, crossing. Thinks less of the self and of the self less. Special commentary on that. Just how cute it is impressive. We think more of the self, but not of ourself and the supreme self. There are two selves, the individual self and the supreme self. So there's another example said in Srimad Bhagavatam, that those who are not speaking Krishna about Krishna are making sounds like the croaking of a frog. Of course, these are our frogs. Maybe they're chanting Hare Krishna. P.
People should think less of the self, but they don't know what the self is. They could hardly think less about themselves because they don't know even what the self is. They're thinking the body is the self. They just assume, who are you? I'm Jones. Who are you? I'm Smith. Who are you? I'm American. Who are you? I'm African. Who are you? I'm this. Simply thinking in terms of the body, as if the body were the self. It's all about me. It's all about me. They have no idea who me is. They're thinking me is this bag of bones and blood and other nice ingredients. They're clueless about the self. And another first point, you know, the self is not the body. The self is the conscious soul in the body, the Atma in the body. And the Teva used for the continuing mission, they're supposed to be self-interested, but they have no idea what their real self-interest is. So they should, from one point of view, should say they should think more about themselves. Ask themselves, am I, what am I? That's the beginning of human life, to ask myself, what am I? Think about yourself. Am I this material contraption made of blood and bones and pulleys and gears and rubber bands? Is that what I am? This thing that's going to be thrown into a grave or thrown onto a pyre, is that what I am? And if that's what I am, what am I working for? The benefit of something that's going to wind up disposed of? Or do I have some higher identity and some higher purpose in life? Yes?
Maharaj, you see that in this age, how killing is going on this scale. Can this only have ill effects for the people that are doing it, or can it have ill effects for all of us in some way?
In this age, there's cow killing on a massive scale. Does it have ill effects just for those who are doing it, or does it affect all of us in some way? It especially affects those, there are various conspirators, like in a criminal case, the guy who robs the bank, the guy who's, you know, drove the getaway car, the guy who was the lookout, they're all brought to trial. Or in a murder case, the guy who bought the weapon and planned it out, then the guy who paid them, the guy killed, and the guy who pulled the trigger. So in cow slaughter, animal slaughter, there are various guilty parties. The person who killed the animal, the person who raised the animal for slaughter, the person who cooks the meat, the person who serves the meat, the person who eats the meat. They're all subject to severe karmic reactions. So they're all implicated. Then you get additional occupations by which one can be implicated. You can advertise the meat. And so on. And those who are not participating in any capacity, they just have to endure living in a world where this is going on. So in that way, one is affected. One of my friends was telling me he's living in America, in California, in Gujarati. Gentleman, and his mother came from India to visit him, and they went to the supermarket, and they went past one section. She said, "What's that?" And he said, "That's cow meat."
And the mother just began to cry. This is what's going on. This is the cow. How the cow is treated and going slaughtered and sold. But most people have no sense. They just, either it's good, you know, little chickens grow on trees waiting to be popped into your mouth. Happy cows are smiling because they're out in the middle of the meadow getting fat for you. People are so calloused in Kali Yuga that they don't know what they're doing. But a person who has spiritual culture will see with great unhappiness how vicious this Kali Yuga is, and will take advantage of this opportunity to get out through chanting the holy name of Krishna.
Bewildered by what?
I'm bewildered with all this knowledge that we have. It's supposed to be a weapon. But sometimes, like in rare cases, one can, with all this knowledge, become attached and be attracted to Maya again.
We have the weapon of knowledge, but still we sometimes become attached to Maya again. Yeah, but first of all, a weapon's no good if you don't use it. Great to read books and have knowledge, but it has to be employed. And swords are not that great when they're dull. So we have to keep it a sharp edge. Therefore, there are spiritual practices to be followed. Spiritual practices to be followed, and good association to be kept. Rupa Goswami explains what the things are that will help us. Enthusiasm, determination, patience, confidence, usaha nishchayataya, following the regular principles, giving up bad association, living in the mode of goodness. These will all help us in spiritual progress. And on the other side, what is that? Prajalpa Niyamana, what's the beginning? What is the beginning? Atyahar. Atyahar means accumulating, collecting more and more and more and more. We're just eating, stuffing everything into our mouth, eating. And prayasas, over endeavor for material things. And prajalpa, blah 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 blah, useless and mundane talk. And niyamagraha, either neglecting the regulative principles of spiritual life, or else becoming a fanatic about so many rules and regulations. Janasangha, keeping close company with materialistic friends. And low greed. We have to be careful about avoiding the unfavorable things and accepting the favorable things. And Shadbir Bhakti Prasiddhiti, and we can attain success. Okay. I think we stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we'd like to thank Maharaj for that wonderful Nectarian message, which has certainly left us all with some food for thought to take away. I'd also like to thank all of you for coming out tonight and for taking the time to be here. And speaking about food, prasad will be served in the marquee downstairs. Thank you.